Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, September 15th. There's news about the upcoming election in November. According to the Montrose Daily Press, there are five candidates currently to fill vacancies on the Montrose County School Board. Three of the vacancies are currently uncontested. Jeff Bachman in District A, Jacob Supis in District B, and Gail Johnson in District C are all candidates that at the moment have no competition. District E has the only contested seat so far, with Sarah Fishering and A.J. Smith vying for the spot. District G at the moment has no candidate. If no one steps up to run for the vacancy, after the election, the new board will appoint someone to serve for 2 years in the District G seat. District G is currently represented by School Board President Leanne Tobin. Tobin will have served on the school board for 8 years when her term expires after the election. The election is November 7th. And according to the Delta County Independent, three candidates have filed to run for the Delta County School Board, which has three available seats. A resolution to cancel the election is on the agenda for the September 21st school board meeting. The three uncontested candidates for the school board are Ron German in District 1, which is West Delta, Jan Tuin in District 5, the Paonia-Crawford area, and Richard Hippio in District 4, which includes east and north of Cedar Edge, as well as the Hotchkiss area. All three are slated to be seated on the school board in November. In Crawford, voters will be asked to approve a 5-mill levy increase. It's the same ballot issue Crawford voters rejected by 9 votes in 2016. The ballot question specifies that the increases are to be used for roads, town hall and other structures, vehicle maintenance, and for the reserve fund. The town of Crawford has the lowest mill levy rate in Delta County at 2.42 mills. Delta and Cedar Edge voters will also have a mill levy increase ballot issue. A mill levy increase of 3.25 mills is proposed to voters who live in the Delta County Ambulance District. The funds would sustain emergency medical services at current levels and would help offset budget shortfalls. A mill levy increase of 2.5 mills for the Delta County Ambulance District was defeated by 775 voters in 2016. Ballots will be mailed to voters in Delta County on October 16th. Arch Coal took a big step toward expansion at the West Elk Mine recently. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KBUT in Crested Butte, Chad Rich filed this story.
The Forest Service released a draft decision that would allow the West Elk Mine to expand into the Sunset Roadless area. The West Elk Mine sits in the North Fork Valley in far western Gunnison County and is operated by Arch Coal. The Bureau of Land Management, or BLM, must first approve of the expansion in order for it to occur. This draft decision from the Forest Service simply consents to the BLM's future decision to allow the mine expansion, if that's what the decision ultimately is. Many agencies are involved in a lease modification for a mine, and this is neither a final decision, nor does the Forest Service have sole discretion on allowing a mine expansion to occur. The draft was released on September 8th, which began a 45-day objection period before a final decision is made. The draft decision does allow for temporary roads in the North Fork coal mining area, a subset of the Sunset Roadless area. The North Fork coal mining area was granted an exception to the roadless rule that could allow for temporary construction of roads during mineral extraction. The idea is that the land will be reclaimed once mining activities are complete, and it was met with objections from environmental groups. In the draft decision, Forest Supervisor Scott Armentrout acknowledges the public's desire to see methane captured or flared, as opposed to allowing it to be vented into the atmosphere. Methane is a known greenhouse gas and a byproduct of coal mining. Armentrout says that methane capture or flaring won't be required by the Forest Service. The statement says it will be allowed if the BLM also chooses to allow it, and if the mine company chooses to capture or flare the methane. According to a press release from the Forest Service, the draft decision is subject to an objection period that ends at midnight on October 23rd. Objections will only be accepted from parties who have previously submitted timely and specific written comments regarding the proposed project during the scoping period and other designated opportunities for public comment. If the mine expansion does occur, it's estimated that over 10 million tons of coal will be extracted and that the life of the mine will be extended 1.6 years. The draft decision is robust, complex, and difficult to sum up in one story. Details about the objection process, the draft decision itself, and the environmental analysis can be found at this story's posting at kbut.org. We'll follow the draft decision and the final decision here on KBUT. Chad Rich, KBUT News.
The San Miguel Sheriff's Office is 1 week into an investigation of the double homicide of two young girls found on a farm south of Norwood last Friday. In a press release, San Miguel Sheriff Bill Masters said, quote, "Our team of investigators, deputies, and evidence specialists, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, and the San Miguel County Coroner are making progress," end quote. Sheriff Masters is aware of the concern and interest of the community. He said, quote, "We have no reason to believe there are any other suspects, and there is no threat to public safety," end quote. Sheriff Masters is asking for people to be patient and let the investigators and the district attorney's office do their jobs. He added that he cannot comment on details in order to preserve the integrity of the case and not taint the jury pool. The five suspects in the case are in custody and are due in court in Telluride in October. And finally today, the Montrose Memorial Hospital moved quickly to replace its departed chief executive officer. According to the Montrose Daily Press, the hospital designated Cindy Bradley to serve as interim CEO in the wake of the sudden departure of former CEO Steve Hanna. Bradley begins her new role Tuesday. She has 30 years of experience as a healthcare administrator, including hospital operations, physician recruitment, construction, physician-hospital integration, quality improvement, compliance, and strategic planning. A nationwide search is being launched to find a permanent replacement for Hanna. Officials at the hospital have not said why Hanna left after coming aboard in 2014. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.